God, it is good to be in your house. It is good to be with your people, Lord. We thank you for the day to come and worship you. We thank you for the great service, the great message, the great music, Lord. It was just such a blessing today, Lord. Pray to be with us now as we talk about the last chapter, Lord, the final lap, finishing strong. Father, we pray that you would speak to us. You just give us all some wisdom. Maybe collectively we can learn from one another, Lord, as to how to maximize that time and use it for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I think we know a lot of you, most of you, but not everybody. So we are Chris and Ingrid Gleason, and we thought since this is a class on sort of, you know, the retirement years, if you will, we might introduce ourselves a little bit sort of in that context. You know, where are we in the context of retirement and all of that? So so we are sort of at the beginning phase of that, I would say. I retired 2 years ago. After a 30-year career as a lawyer for the Drug Enforcement Administration, I was the deputy chief counsel of DEA for 30 years. And before that, I was in the Army, Army JAG officer, and Army, you know, active duty and reserve, got retired out of that as well. I've now taken a part-time job with Campus Crusade as a lawyer in their legal office. So that's what I'm doing. Ingrid has worked in a variety of jobs over the years. She's worked mostly at the school. So she was with the school for a while. She worked in children's ministry for 20 years, assistant director of children's ministry, and now works a couple days a week in the bookkeeping section of Emmanuel. So that's kind of who we are on the career track. We have three adult children who are married and are fulfilling their obligation of producing grandchildren for us. So that's good. So that's what we're doing. At this point in our ministries, it feels like God has kind of got us in mentoring roles. So we serve along with some others as a mentor couple for the Telios ADF, which is the Young Marrieds. Ingrid's involved in Mum's leadership. I participate in men's discipleship ministry, and we do premarital mentoring as well. So it seems like we're supposed to be old people helping young people. But anyway, that's sort of who we are.
So I'm not sure when we both got so old that Bob Hartman thought that we should know something about finishing strong. And we are a bit intimidated by the word wisdom, and I have to confess, not completely delighted by the idea that we're on the last lap.
Bob named this
lap. Yeah, we had no say in that. But since apparently our time is short, I suppose we need to find out a little bit about you all. And just, you know, kind of by a show of hands, how many of you are quickly approaching retirement?
All right.
And how many of you all, I'm guessing this might be the rest of you, how many of you all are fully in retirement?
Okay.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, yeah, so we've got some people that are looking at it, some people who are already there. That's wonderful. As we prepared for this class, we were hit with the realization that the transition to what one might call the retirement years is really not all that different from the transition to other stages in life, right? I mean, you know, you go from you know, college to career, you go from single to married, you go from no kids to kids. Kids to empty nest, you know, then you leave your career behind. You know, there's all, your life is really just a series of transitions from one thing to another. And all of those transitions give us the opportunity to think about, you know, what would God have me do in this moment? You know, where he has me right now, what would he have me do? You know, how can I maximize that for his glory? And we should really think about that, you know, in all of our life situations. I think about the example of the Apostle Paul. And in the book of Philippians, which was one of the books that he wrote while he was in prison, you know, I imagine, you know, prison was probably a big transition for him, you know, from you know, missionary journeys and all that to be stuck in prison, you know. But you don't see any attitude of his as, you know, woe is me, you know, I wish I wasn't here. I wish I was still out there, you know, planting churches and ministering to people, you know, how can I serve God, you know, here? But that's really, you know, the attitude that he had. He looked around, he saw a situation, and he said, you know, how can I, in this place where God has me at this moment, serve him best? And probably my favorite verse in all of Philippians, and there's some great verses in Philippians, is chapter 1, verse 12, where he says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You know, this placement, you know, in prison, he sees that as this is really the best thing that could have happened for the advancement of the gospel. And he talks about how guards are coming to Christ. He talks about how even members of Caesar's household are coming to Christ. And he talks about how the fact that he's no longer sort of out there has caused other people to step up in their faith and boldly share their faith. So, you know, that's how Paul approached transition. How can I bring glory to God and build his kingdom in the situation in which I find myself in life? So really what we hope to achieve here today is to talk about some biblical principles that we think can kind of produce that kind of attitude for us in the various situations in which we find ourselves, right? As, you know, as we consider transitioning, or as God transitions us, or wherever he has us, right? So the focus of this class is on the retirement years, and we're going to kind of talk about it in that context. But these principles really apply to any kind of transition that we may be going through in our lives. And so, you know, let me kind of give you a roadmap of where we're going today, kind of the big idea up front, so you sort of know where we're going and what we're going to try to achieve today. But it's this. As believers, our identity and our purpose in life are established by God and don't change over time. Right? Our circumstances might change. You know, how that identity and purpose play out at a particular given time in our lives might change a little bit, but who we are and what we're called to do doesn't change throughout our lives, right? And so if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, we can cultivate that kind of an attitude in our lives, and it's something that is imperfect, and we're all going to be continuing to work on that and try to bring it up. But if we can do that, then when we move into these transitions, right, I think maybe we can avoid some of the struggles that we have, which is, you know, who am I and what am I supposed to be doing? You know, am I still worthwhile? Do I still have something to contribute? And I think the answer is a resounding yes. So hopefully we'll put some meat on the bones of that today as we talk, but that's sort of where we're going. So whether you're already there, whether you're getting close to it, whether it's a long ways off, you know, whatever, these are good things to think about in any stage in life in which we find ourselves.
So there is a broad spectrum of views in the United States about the retirement years. On one end of the spectrum is the idea that I'm going to work until I die. And these folks don't believe in the concept of retirement at all. They see it as a modern phenomenon. Actually, that's true. And truthfully, in probably our lifetimes, retirement became a thing. Prior to that, it was not a thing. And the fact that, that retirement's not explicitly talked about in the Bible or taught, therefore retirement should be avoided. On the opposite end of the spectrum, and I think this is probably the most prevalent view, at least in our culture in the United States, is the view that basically it says this: you've worked hard at a career that you may or may not have enjoyed, you've saved and invested your money as best you can, and then you can hopefully enjoy a long vacation for the last 20 years of your life, if you can afford it. If not, you hope the government and or your family or some of those grandchildren will take care of you. I mean, after all, isn't that what we deserve? So Chris and I land in the center of this spectrum, and the idea that retirement's not something that the Bible necessarily forbids, but we also reject the viewpoint that we have earned an extended vacation and can spend our time, money, any way we want. In other words, selfishly, not regarding God's purpose or the good of his people. So that brings up the question, what does God's word have to say about retirement? And is there really any difference in our purpose now than at any other time in our life? So if we did a word study on the word retirement in the Bible, it would be quite short. As we mentioned, retirement in our culture is quite young. And so it should not surprise us that that retirement is mentioned only once in God's word, specifically once. And that's in Numbers 8:23 through 26, and I'll read it to you. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This applies to the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall come to do duty in the service of the tent of meeting. And from the age of 50 years, they will withdraw from the duty of the service and serve no more. They minister to their brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard, but they shall do no service." So this passage gives a little hint of God's view of retirement. Only one reference, and in fact, it discusses a change of duties, not a pension and a set of golf clubs. And the fact that retirement, no offense to golfers out there, and the fact that retirement is only mentioned once should also hint that the popular idea of propping up our feet and completely relaxing in our latter years is just not biblical. The Bible does, however, give us principles for life that are timeless and apply to the entire span of our lives. God's word and our purpose doesn't change, as Chris has already mentioned, with the number of candles on our cake. The application of the principles may look different, however, and I know a lot of us could speak to how that has changed as we age and mature.
So what are these principles, biblical principles, that sort of speak to the idea of transition, the idea of retirement? We're going to talk about three different principles today. The first being that the gospel is paramount. Okay, the gospel is the thing that gives us our unchanging identity and unchanging purpose. And the most important thing about the gospel, I mean, there's lots of important things about the gospel, but the most important thing about the gospel is that it changes our relationship to God. From those who are, you know, enemies of God to those who, you know, who belong to Him, who've been forgiven. So let's take a moment for a little bit of class participation. What are some things that are true as believers about our relationship with God? What comes to mind? Yeah, you can just shout it out, go ahead, Dave.
Well, you told me to heckle you.
Okay, yeah, I did say that. Yeah, please. A room full of elders. I want some heckling. Yeah.
So, my view of what Apostle Paul would say, Moses. Mm-hmm. Their retirement, they didn't have a retirement. Mm-hmm. They were constantly serving God and serving the people that they're with. So my question then is the last lap like it is when you're a sprinter or a runner,
right,
or a swimmer?
Right.
The last lap is always a sprint.
Right.
So
right.
Is that true in your mind?
Yeah. In my mind, the answer to that question is no. It's not going to be a sprint. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we go along. So absolutely, yeah, I don't think it has to be a sprint. I don't think we're called to frenetic activity until God calls us home. I think we're called to be wise and thinking about it, and the application of these principles, right? So what are some things that characterize our relationship with God as believers, right? We're His children. What else comes to mind?
Been reconciled
to God. That's right.
His
sons and daughters. Yeah.
And He does call us to evangelize.
He does. Mm-hmm. He does call us to evangelize. Absolutely. What else? Share Him. Anything else?
I'm a new creation.
A new creation in Christ. Yeah. Andy, did you have your hand up?
God provides.
He provides for us, right? Yeah.
Obedience is key.
Obedience is key. Right. We don't have to obey Him. We get to. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Dave.
And we're constantly in our sanctification.
Absolutely. That process never ends, right? We continue to go
imputed
there, right?
Imputed with His righteousness.
I'm sorry, one more time?
Imputed
with His righteousness, what we talked a lot about in the service today, right? Absolutely. Anything else? I mean, that's like, yeah, go ahead.
A child of God, and in the Bible it doesn't make a reference, honor your mother and your father. So
yep.
As a child of God, as Him being our father, we are to continue to provide and to give that honor to Him in service to others.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Flex on the other hand. Yeah.
Say, I don't know how to say this right. It's a transition to the next life. It's mm-hmm. our bodies decay.
Right. So, right. Yeah. So we're alive.
It's not our
right.
home.
Right.
There's
right.
something
right.
to look forward to, and that's mm-hmm. the spiritual journey that mm-hmm.
right.
becomes more important than the physical.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank
right.
goodness.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anything else? You guys have hit a lot. Yeah.
Servants.
Servants.
Servants
of the Lord.
Progressive sanctification is that whole lifelong process that doesn't stop until we see Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, right? If, you know, from the moment of our transition until He calls us home, He continues to make us more and more Christ-like. Yeah.
He's our source of joy no matter the circumstances.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah, Scott.
And there's a gifting, and so being faithful to the Lord is exercising those gifts, and so we may transition in what we're doing to raise money, but we are, you know, live, but we still are serving in a gifting.
Amen. Amen.
Gift doesn't age.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And we're being shaped. We're expected to improve internally to get more Christ-like as
right.
we continue through our lives.
Right.
Continue
right.
to mature.
Yeah.
Continue
yes.
to mature.
Yeah, Dave.
Chris, I think there's sort of an oxymoron to aging in that the older we get, the more we realize how little we know, and yet God calls us accountable for sharing wisdom
yeah.
with those younger than us.
Yeah.
And we feel so unwise ourselves,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but yet we've got to help people who are even less wise than we are.
Amen. And that's I think that's a sign of spiritual maturity. You know, I think the more we learn about God, the more we realize how far short we fall of Him.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a relative, you know, where do we fit with everybody else, right? And it may be that we've got some experience, we just don't feel adequate, but it is there, you know, by the virtue of the fact that we've walked on the earth for as long as we have. So, I mean, that's great, and that's just so encouraging, isn't it? I mean, all of those things are true of us because of our relationship with the Lord as believers. You know, we're His children, we're His adopted children, we have the ability to call on Him, He sanctifies us, He gives us all of these things that we've been talking about here today. And, you know, that's our identity in Christ, and that doesn't change. That does not change, no matter what transition, or where we find ourselves, that remains true forever. So the gospel gives us our identity, but it also gives us our purpose. Because if all of those things are true, if even one of those things are true, right, then we should feel compelled to live our lives as a thank you back to God, right? Not in the sense of trying to earn points or earn His favor or earn merits, but just, man, all these things that God has given me, you know, I want to, you know, to live my life in gratitude back to God. And what does that look like? You know, how do we live a life to display gratitude back to God? I mean, Jesse even talked about it this morning, right? There's nothing we can really give Him, right? There's nothing we can give Him. But I think, you know, Jesus Himself tells us the answer to that question in the great commandment, Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, which says this. But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, of course. Asked Him a question to test Him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. So a life lived with gratitude to God is a life that's characterized by seeking His glory in all that we do and seeking to serve others, right? To love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So in giving us, you know, the gospel and giving us that purpose, you know, God, the gospel changes not only our relationship to God, but it changes our relationship to everything else as well, including how we use our time, how we use our treasure, how we use our talents and our gifts, right? The truth that God has given us, we talked about, you know, the responsibility to serve in that regard, and the relationships that God's put in our lives, right? Our relationship, all of those things change as well, right? So when we leave behind, that's what's been our, you know, our career, how we spent most of our time, you know, our assignment might change, but our identity and our purpose never change. You know, it's the same thing, right? And I think that's good to know for those of us who are kind of approaching retirement or are kind of new to it, right? Too many of us, I think, get our identity and our purpose from our jobs, you know, what we do. And so when the title goes away, you know, it's like, well who am I now and what do I have to offer, you know? And I think if we have those kind of feelings, what it probably tells us is I've been thinking about my job wrong. Because that's not my identity, and that's not my purpose as a believer. It's just the assignment that God has given me for this moment of my life, and that assignment is going to change, you know, probably a bunch of different times throughout my life as we go there, right? So we can think we've lost our purpose, we can think we've lost our identity, but we haven't done that. We're supposed to be about God's glory and about building His kingdom, you know, the whole time, as long as we're here on the earth. And you know, we're told throughout the Bible to do that. We're told to, you know, to set our minds on the things that are above. You know, we're told that, you know, we should be storing up treasure in heaven, not on earth. We're told that the things we see are passing away. It's the things that we don't see that are eternal, right? So the wise man is the man that spends his time, you know, focused on building things there that are still going to be there in the next life, you know, that not the things are going to pass away in this life. So I should really see that my identity and purpose are exactly the same, whether I'm the deputy chief counsel of the Drug Enforcement Administration or POP. To 5 grandchildren, 6 in September. Yeah. So you know, I think that's the case. So that's the first biblical principle, right? The gospel is primary, and from the gospel we get an identity and a purpose that never change, no matter where we are or what we're doing. Okay. So let me pause there. Comments, thoughts, anything from you guys? Any wisdom that you guys would have to share?
I retired the year I came to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I entered into His rest.
Yeah.
And started serving Him,
yeah,
in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
And I started Bible college in 1984.
Fantastic.
After a fall through a stairwell opening 18 feet.
Wow.
My skull raised me back up. I started Bible college that fall. Graduated in 92, serving Him the entire time,
yeah,
as an assistant,
yeah,
pastor.
Fantastic.
Raising our kids.
Yeah.
And It was full, like it is now. It's just, like you said before, different.
Yeah.
The Jill is just full.
Yeah. That's great.
So it's retirement and rest.
Yeah.
But still serve.
Yeah, that's right. That's the principle. Exactly. Anything else? Okay.
Well, that was a great segue into the second principle. So the first principle is gospel is paramount, and the second principle is the biblical concepts of work and rest. In contrast to the very little the Bible has to say in direct reference to retirement, it has a whole bunch to say about work and rest. Here are just a few of the examples. First, we are called to work hard. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. In Timothy, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And of course, Proverbs has a whole lot to say about hard work. And my personal favorite is Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. But the message, of course, in the Bible is not just about working hard as an end in itself. It gives us the why, the purpose as well. In Colossians, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Work is for the Lord, to serve him and bring glory to him. And here's the rub. The true reward for work will come in the next life, not in this one. Sometimes I think we expect too much of that in this one. In Philippians 2:14 through 15, Paul gives us these instructions. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. In this life, hard work done for God sanctifies us and can help to make us a good witness to the crooked and twisted generation in which we live. God also sometimes blesses us with truly the satisfaction of actually seeing the fruits of our labor. So as we look at these passages together, we should see that hard work is not an end in itself. My heritage is German. I really have a hard time wrapping my head around that work is not just the purpose. I just don't need to have a clean bathroom. There's more to it than that, right? We're called to be wise and provide for ourselves and our families, but the motivation is not to become secure and independent, or to fill more silos, or to impress others with our success, or build things for this world, because that's passing away, right? It's passing away. The main point is to bring glory to God and to love our neighbors. We constantly have to examine the motivation of our heart in whatever we're doing, and however we're serving, and however we're working. Why are we doing that? The emphasis on work doesn't lead to the conclusion that the Bible wants us to work until we die. Because work can become an idol on its own, which I can attest to that.
Yeah. So it's clear that, you know, when the Bible talks about work and has a lot to say about that, you know, we're supposed to do it, right? We're supposed to work hard, but our motivation is not to find our security in that. And our motivation should not be to, you know, have that to be, you know, our identity and our purpose, which come from the gospel, right? You know, that's where, you know, work can go astray, I think. But it's also clear, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about rest. You know, he wants us to work hard for his glory, but he also wants us to enjoy the blessings that he's given us, right? John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. God wants us to have an abundant life on this earth. I'm not talking about prosperity theology. I'm talking about he wants us to have a joy that's rooted in him and in the promises that he's made for us and what we know awaits for us, right? So he wants us to have, you know, that kind of, you know, abundant life. And that's not just a New Testament concept. It's in the Old Testament as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7. Go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. So, you know, if God blesses you with resources and margins for free time, praise God. It's a blessing, right? It's not wrong to enjoy the blessings that God has given us. In fact, he wants us to do that. Those are the kind of things that should, you know, drive us to more gratitude for him and more praise for him. So, you know, we want to be able to do that. Problems arise, though, when we make that an end in itself and forget the great commandment, right? When we think this is all about rest. you know, and this is all about my leisure and what I can do and just joy in myself, you know. I think that's when the problems arise. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a parable of a rich man whose land produces plentifully. And I think that's very instructive for what we're talking about today. This is Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, and it says this. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, boy, this sounds like a parable about the prevailing attitude towards retirement in America today, isn't it? I've worked hard. I've stored up all these goods. I've got enough to see me through, so I'm just going to relax, eat, drink, and be merry for the last 20, 30 years of my life, you know? God calls that man a fool. You know, that's pretty straightforward here, you know, not mincing words. So let's ask you guys, a little more audience participation. Why is that man a fool? What's foolish about that?
Left out God.
What's it? He left out God? Yeah. Okay, what else? Anything else?
Focused on the temporal.
Focused on the temporal. That's right. And not the eternal. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Well, and he made assumptions about how much time he had.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's presuming, you know, he got all this time. Yeah, Dave.
His security was in his possessions, not in his faith in Jesus or God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I was just going to ask if you could repeat the book. Chapter and verse.
Sure can. Yeah, that's Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Any other thoughts about what's foolish about that attitude?
Kathy.
Oh, yeah, Kathy.
It implies to me that he's taking the credit for his accomplishment, his own effort, instead of appreciating that all good things come from the Lord and giving God the glory, and it's me, mine, not thanking God, saying that God is the one that has allowed him to achieve that, but also not seeing that it's to be used towards God.
Absolutely, yeah. Have you seen my lake house, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Perfect, yeah. What else? Anything else? Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not much thought about how he might spread his abundance to bless others.
Right, it's all about himself, right? He's keeping it for himself, right? Yeah. Yeah, I think you guys have hit it, right? I mean, the point of this parable is not that, you know, wealthy people die before they get to enjoy their wealth, you know? It's not that. It's not even that it's wrong to accumulate these kind of things, right? The point of the parable is, you know, having been blessed with things which come from God, we can use those in a way that honor God or in a way that dishonor God, right? And that's, as you guys said, is what this guy forgot about and why he's a fool. He didn't realize that, you know, these things that he was blessed with, he's got a choice. Am I going to use this for myself, or am I going to use this for God? You know, and that's what made him a fool, right? And it's not just talking about wealth. You know, I think you can apply that same concept to everything that God has given us, whether it is, you know, our wealth, or whether it's the time we've been given, whether it's the talents and the gifts that we have. You know, all of those things are things that, you know, we can use in a way that's honoring to God or a way that's dishonoring to God. And I think that's kind of the principle that we're talking about here, right? So in the same way that work can become, you know, a problem, if that becomes an end in itself and we see that as our security and our identity and our purpose, in the same way, you know, rest and relaxation can become a problem if we see that as an end in itself and for our benefit and for our enjoyment, and leave all that stuff out of the rest of stuff out of the equation. So you know, rest in and of itself, you know, isn't bad. In fact, as believers, we are promised rest, right? Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And this is throughout Scripture, but this is one of my favorite passages about that. This is Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And it says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. I mean, that is a promise that we have, you know, and as believers, we have a desire for that, you know, a desire for that kind of thing is a God implanted desire. You know, we should look forward to that. We should want that. We should long for that day when that becomes true. And the fact that that's a promise, you know, should give us some rest even on this side, right? Because as we know, that's coming. We know that, you know, there's a happy ending. The end of the story is going to be a happy ending, right? But our problems come when we think we can find that kind of complete rest on this side of glory, right? I think that's when the problem begins. And isn't that the root of most sin? You know, looking for things that only God can deliver through some other means, right? From something other than God. I think that's where our problems begin, right? Pursuing legitimate ends through illegitimate means. Or as, you know, the classic movie Urban Cowboy said, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, I think that's where the problem, you know, comes in. So, you know, the biblical concept of teaching on work and rest leaves room for a concept of retirement, right? We're to work hard, but making work an end in itself and getting our identity from and purpose from that is sin. We're to enjoy the blessings that God has given us as well. But to make that an end in itself is sin as well, right? So we have to understand our work and our rest in the context of the gospel and the identity and purpose in life that gives us, right, which don't change. So any thoughts or comments on that? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and also sometimes we can get to the point of we putting other things before God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We want the blessings, but we don't want what God has called us to do and the purpose for God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Just like the rich man who said, I did this, Lord, and I did this, yes, and I followed the scriptures, mm-hmm. I followed the Lord, and I did so the Lord said, sell everything you have.
Yeah, one thing you lack, absolutely, yeah.
What? Yeah. All those things were before God, but yeah. He didn't see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. That's great.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that, the principles of work and rest?
You've got to keep in mind why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If labor and toil, Paul did that mm-hmm. to the point of exhaustion. Some of his disciples did the same thing when they went off to start churches and stuff. Mm-hmm. They never lost sight of the calling.
Mm-hmm.
Calling has nothing to do with how much you labor, but the calling, the labor is the call.
Right.
He's called us to go out in the field, right?
Right.
Morning, noon, afternoon, and night.
Right, right.
And
right.
Until I go home, I'm going to be served.
That's right. Our identity never changes. Our purpose never changes. Right. It remains the same until God calls us home. Absolutely. Okay.
So the principle number one was gospel is paramount. Principle number two, the biblical concept of work and rest. And number three is godly stewardship. Stewardship is first understanding that God created everything, including us, and it all belongs to Him. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Colossians 1:16, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. So that's the first, stewardship is first understanding that God created everything, including us, and all belongs to Him. The second aspect of stewardship is everything we have is given to us by Him. It is a gift to us from Him. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. And thirdly, everything He gives us is to be used for His glory and His people. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Revelation 4:11, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. I think we often regard stewardship specifically in pertaining to reference to money. But in fact, if God made everything, if everything we have is from Him, and if everything He's gives to us is to be used for His glory and His people, then Really, stewardship is literally about taking care of everything in a way that is pleasing to God, because that's what he intended. So in their book, Recalibrating Your Life, Ken Boa and Jenny Abel discuss five categories of stewardship: their time, talents, treasure, truth, and relationships. So we'll start with time. Our time is limited. I don't know if any of you have looked into the books Every Moment Holy. They're great books, they're liturgies that help remind us of that moment when you were changing a diaper, or you're mowing the grass, or you're fixing dinner is holy. That really, that thought should stop each one of us in our tracks. That title alone should stop us in our tracks and think about that every single second of every minute, every moment of every hour, every day, every month, every year that has gone by is a gift from God to be used for him. We should be purposeful in how we use them, especially since many of us in this room, the moments that we have lived on this earth far outnumbers the ones that we have left. So remember, we're on the last lap. Let's run well. Talents includes both natural abilities and spiritual gifts. Whatever your ability is, playing the guitar, starting a conversation, growing a garden, teaching, dancing, financial prowess, whatever it is. Do you accept that these are used to be used for God's glory and for the good of his people? He gave you that gift for a purpose. Right now, in this moment, one of the blessings of being on the earth a while, and I know a lot of you could agree with me on this, is that we begin to have a fairly good idea of what we are good at and what we are not. And we can so accept that he has given you the gift for a reason and use it. Treasure. This includes our money and our stuff. Perhaps you no longer have to count each penny, or perhaps you still do. Perhaps you do not have the car that you thought you might have by now, or maybe you're driving a brand new Mercedes, which is my personal wish car. No matter, but I'm okay, I've got a great RAV4, and I love it. So no matter how much or how little he has given you, use it for him. And perhaps, this is a bit personal, but is your identity, is my identity, in what we have acquired or in the one who gave it to you? I think that's something that we have to ask our hearts fairly frequently. So I'm going to pause here and give a commercial moment from Ingrid. And let's speak frankly, we're among friends here. Can we please just promise one another to stop comparing ourselves with one another? Can we all agree that we will, with gratitude and joy, accept the talent and treasures that he has given us, whether a lot or a little, and use those gifts from him without questioning, without jealousy, and without pride? We love to compare ourselves, don't we? We like to look over here and look over there. I did better than that. I'm not better than that. I wish I had this. If only I had that. I'm glad I have this. They don't have that. All of it, right? The Bible has a word for that. It's called contentment. And there's such freedom in contentment. If only we could master it. But that's the end of the commercial. So the next one is truth. God's truth is a gift to steward. We have his word. Dwell on that for just a moment. The creator of everything and everyone has given us the ability to actually know him through, I'm going to hold up my Bible at the risk of all the papers falling out. He has given us this book. Spend those precious moments he has given you in it. Cultivate an attitude, and this is a former pastor used to say this often, not of I have to read God's word, but I get to read God's word. Frankly, if you're at a similar stage of life as Chris and I, you probably have a bit more unscheduled time in your day and maybe even a few less people tugging at it. Use those moments to get to know him. We know that God doesn't just want us to know his word. He also wants us to live in a way that testifies to that. You know, there's that stereotype of the grumpy old man or the crotchety old lady. Let us aspire to not be that. I think somebody earlier mentioned the joy of knowing him. Let that be the witness to other people. Let us live like we know the joy of knowing him. And let us never yell. Chris always said that when he got older, he was going to yell this get off my lawn. So let us not be that guy. He hasn't done it yet. I don't think he will. I'm constantly...
Because our lawn is terrible.
Yeah. If we had a nice lawn, it might be different. But anyway. All right. Share the truth with others. So you have been a believer for 30 years, 20 years, 5 years, however long. You've been in his word fairly faithfully for that time, and you've seen his faithfulness to you over those many years. Don't you think we should let some folks know about that? Let them know that, yes, life is hard, but I have survived this long, and this is why. Because I have placed my trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And that leads us into our last category of relationships, last category of stewardship, which is relationships. So we just talked about our first and most important relationship, which is with God. But what about all the other folks that he puts in our life? The Bible is full of one another statements and instructions. How should we treat all the people he has placed in our life? And I'm talking about from the clerk checking you out at the store to your family. These are the relationships he calls us to steward well. It is no accident that you have the family that you have, or that you have the person working on your lawn that you have. These are all people that he has placed in your life strategically at that moment for his purpose. In fact, one could argue that God has given us the gifts of time, talents, treasure, and truth to give him the glory through the way we relate to the people around us. After all, you all know this, the only two things that will last forever are the word of God and people. Everything else passes away, and that's where we should be investing all that he has given us.
So that's the third principle, you know, the principle of stewardship of all these resources and things that God has entrusted to us. So how does that principle sort of relate to the other two principles, right? The principle of the primacy of the gospel, which gives us our unchanging identity and purpose, and the principle, you know, the Bible has to say about work and rest. The problem of making work or rest being sort of ends and of themselves, you know, that's the thing. I think stewardship relates to those two in this way. All right, so the gospel never changes. You know, what the Bible has to say about work and rest, you know, those truths, you know, those things never change. But the things that God has given us, the things that God entrusted to us, those things do change over time, right? We have more or less of them at different stages of our life. And certainly in the retirement years, you know, that is certainly true. I mean, think about that, right? Think about time. You know, if you leave behind your primary career or the things that you've been doing and, you know, spending most of your time on, suddenly you have more unstructured time in your life, right? So in that sense, you know, maybe there is a little bit more time that you have. In another sense, there's less time, you know, because there's more road behind you than there is in front of you, right? So those things that God has given you change in the different places of our relationship, and we have to be wise as we think about that and look about that and how we're going to use that. You know, how about our gifts and our talents? You know, both the natural abilities, you know, and the spiritual gifts that we get through the Holy Spirit. You know, those things can change over time as well, right? As we get older, we've got experience. You know, we've got some knowledge. We've been down the road a few times. We know some things that we didn't know before, a lot of hard-earned lessons that maybe we can, you know, save other people from. You know, so we, you know, in that sense, you know, our gifts and our abilities, you know, may be better. We may be at the top of our game there. But the trade-off there is what? You know, we've lost some energy. You know, we've lost some vigor. We've lost that, you know, that youthful drive, you know. So you got a little bit more and you got a little bit less, and we have to be wise about that as well. You know, that was one of the things I think that Dave asked early. You know, we're supposed to go throughout all of our lives until we just drop over. You know, no, we have to be wise as we think about that. But we have to also remember, you know, I think a great promise in this regard with respect to our gifts and talents is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So, you know, the weaker we are, you know, the more God gets the glory for it all. And so in that sense, you know, using that our weakness can be something that really brings, you know, more praise and more attention and more glory to God. So our time changes, you know, our gifts and talents may change, our treasure, you know, changes, right? You know, maybe when we retire, we may not have as much disposable income as we had before. And this is one thing, I'll share with you, a little kind of, you know, a little moment of transparency. You know, this was a struggle for me. You know, because, you know, for us, yeah, okay. I was going to leave you out of that.
I'm going to jump on.
Throw yourself under the bus. You know, you spend your whole life, you know, putting away and saving, you know, and then all of a sudden you stop, and now you got this amount of money, and you got to be dead before it's gone, right? I mean, that's not where you are. And you know, and for me, you know, I really found a temptation to be hyper-focused on that. You know, and to be worried about it, and be thinking about it a lot. You know, and thinking, well, maybe we should reevaluate our tithing and all that kind of thing, right? You got to watch out for that. It's a real potential danger.
I think equally challenging is, do I give it away or do I save it for the kids?
That's
the one I wrestle with.
Yeah.
God has blessed us richly beyond what we ever expected. But how much of that do I owe for my children?
Right.
And how much do I give now? And frankly, it's fun to give stuff. I enjoy being able to give.
It's a blessing.
Yeah.
While I'm not working, but I'm still able to give.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But am I cheating my children?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially with a child with special needs and all. Big decisions.
All of those kind of things. And that, you know, and that's a great point, you know, that I think what we don't want to be lost in this class. This is gonna look different for all of us. Right? You know, how are we doing our time? How are we using our treasure? You know, how are we using the truth that we've given us, you know, our relations, all those things we've been given to by the Lord? It's going to be different for all of us in our retirement years. We have to be wise about that and think about that, you know, but a big part of the decision making process needs to be, what's my identity and what's my purpose? You know, why am I here? Am I using this for me? Am I using this for God? Right? So that is a great point. So our time changes. You know, our gifts and talents might change. Our treasure might change. Our relationships change. You know, dependent children become independent adult children. And we're still looking for a class about how to relate to adult children.
Anybody got that?
We would love to learn that because that could be a real struggle. And then there may be this office you've been going to for 20 or 30 years, and all these people, and suddenly they're gone. And you know, who are these new people that all of a sudden are in my sphere, right? So that changes. Yeah, Scott.
So just to add a word of wisdom, not for me because I don't have it yet.
We don't either.
But my mother-in-law is in her 90s.
Yeah.
And she says, make friends with younger people.
Yeah.
Because everybody she knows that was her friend is gone now.
Yeah. That's a good wisdom. And that's a real truth, because we talked about that kind of earlier. You know, we may not feel like we've got a whole lot of wisdom to share, but boy, we do. You know, just walking on this earth, we do. We talk about that. I mentioned earlier that we're one of the mentor couples for the Telios ABF, the Young Married ABF. And sometimes we think, the only thing we have to contribute to them is, hey, we got through those child-rearing years, and we are still here. You know, God was faithful, and he helped us through it. And you know what? That helps those people, because at that moment, they're thinking, we're not going to make it. You know, and they say, well, we did, you know, and you will too. God will see you through this step by step, day by day. You won't see the big plan, but step by step, day by day. And that is more than we think as older folks. Yeah, that is more help to them. So our time changes, our gifts and talents change, our treasure changes, our relationship changes. The truth is the only one that doesn't change. The truth remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, sir.
You know, Peter says in 2 Peter 1:5, add to your faith. Mm-hmm. So he said, boom, boom. Everything you learn, add to that, something else, and add something. Before you know it, you have so much stuff to give away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you, and God just keeps supplying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just keep giving away the wisdom he's given you, and counsel he's given you, and the joy he's given you. And I mean, those are all gifts that we can give to other people and make such a difference in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 And you know, the beauty of God's truth, it doesn't change, but man, it is deeper than we are, right? Yep. So, we can learn and learn and learn and learn. I think even in eternity, we're still going to learn about the beauty and the depth and the majesty of the Lord. And that relationship is just going to continue to improve. So, man, you know, that is a resource that doesn't change, but it is an eternity worth of stuff for us to mine. So it's a beautiful thing.
And I would just add too with that, you can tell people, I don't have it all together. I'm 62 years old. I don't have it all together. It's okay that you're 30 and don't have it all together. You know, this is a process, sanctifying process. We learn more as we are on his earth, especially if we're paying attention to his word and his people, you begin to learn more, and it's a process. So let's be real with each other and with younger people in our lives. Let's let them know that we don't have it all together either, and it's okay. We're working together.
Yeah.
One thing that really stood out, the two of you are here together. Charlotte went to hear Alex. But it's hard because you've got different perspectives. You mentioned the money thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned I'm having a lot of fun giving away money now that I'm older and I can give more than I could when I was 40.
Right.
And I thoroughly enjoy that. But yet, chances are Charlotte outlives me by 7 years. She knows that the money's got to last those 7 years, and then it's got to cover Stephen for another 25 years or 20 years after that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she's thinking more that way. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking more, boy, isn't this fun to give money away?
Yeah.
I'm feeling guilty as you remind me of that.
That's so true, Dave. I mean, Chris and I were talking, too, about for a lot of women, our identity is in our family. So when those kids all flit out and maybe or maybe not, we have good or not so good relationships with them. And, you know, what's our purpose? Chris was a lawyer at the DEA for a very long time and made a big impact in that. When that went away, boy, you better be concentrating. But the thing was, we had different perspectives. You know, when Chris started working from home for a while, I was like, whoa, Nelly, he's kind of in my space. You know? So that was a transition for us, big time. So those are all the kind of things to share with folks that are just a little behind us, a lot behind us, and also look to the others that are ahead of us to kind of help us through.
And you haven't had to downsize yet.
That's no.
It's getting harder to climb the stairs.
I know. We're thinking about a cot on that first floor.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, ma'am.
And then you have to be careful, because a lot of times I know my parents left some things and my aunts and uncles. Hovering over everything and thinking, well,
yes, notes on things,
you just be polite, don't think,
yes,
you don't want it, you know.
Yeah. I have this awesome CD collection from back in the day. I had a picture of my kid with a trash bag. It's kind of going, you know, my pride and joy. It's going to be just thrown
away.
That's
practical wisdom right there.
That really is. That really is.
And sometimes your money will stump their growth.
Oh,
I had to learn that too.
True.
That's
sometimes
so
giving
true.
Too much will stump what the Lord wants to bring them through for them to have a real relationship with God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And not a religious relationship.
Right. Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes giving too much has it so they feel entitled.
Yep, that's so true.
Yeah, all part of the wisdom. Any other comments on that? This is great. Yeah, good.
So Kevin O'Leary, who's a billionaire, I heard him say once that he's helped his kids a few times with money. And he said, finally, there was one time where his son came to him and said, hey, can I get some money for that? He goes, no, son, you're going to have to handle that on your own. We all had to.
Yeah.
We need to learn to.
Yeah.
So I agree with
you. Yeah.
How do we impart the money that we accumulated? How do we distribute that when we're finished here?
That's a great question, and that in itself can look different in different situations, and in your own family with different children. Boy, is that tricky.
We went out last weekend to that really cool ice cream place in Fairfax. I can't remember the name of it.
Woody's.
Yeah, but they had the sign.
A free ad.
Yeah, money can't buy happiness, but money can buy a cow. And cows produce milk, and milk makes ice cream. There's some wisdom in that. Maybe Proverbs 32. That's how I'm there. But this is great. You know, the key to stewardship is to wisely consider, you know, what God would have us to do with each of these areas, each of these things that He's given us in the moment in which we find ourselves. Right, in light of my identity, who I am in Christ, in light of my purpose to bring Him glory and to serve others, the great commandment. How should I use all of these things? And all these considerations that we've been talking about, you know, are great considerations, and they have to do with, like, you know, leaving money for children. I got to think, you know, what is the solution that's going to produce Christ-likeness in their life? You know, is it giving them everything? You know, maybe they need it, or is it making them work for some of it, right? You know, that requires wisdom. So, you know, this is going to look different for all of us. There's no Christian paradigm. Well, that's a Christian retirement, you know. It doesn't exist, right? It's you know, how do we use this? And, like, we know so many times, on the outside, something might look the same, you know, but on the inside, it might be completely different. You know, we kind of joke among ourselves about the gospel beach house. You know, somebody can own a beach house, right? And it can be, that's where I'm going to go on weekends, and that's why I'm not at church, and that's why I'm not serving, right? Or you can have the beach house that you're using for ministry, and you're having people over, and you're having gospel conversations there with friends and those kind of things. Same outward thing, but the inward stuff is completely different.
Or you can have a friend that has a beach house.
Yeah.
I've often said that.
Got one of those right here in the room.
That's right. Right. So that's the key to that. Ingrid mentioned that book by Ken Boa and Jenny Abel. You know, you've got to hold it up. Yeah. Vanna White is about to display it here. Yeah. So yeah, we have some books that are really pretty good.
Anybody remember Carol Merrill?
Yeah.
No. Oh gosh, I'm too old to remember that. Here
that's
they
not,
are.
That's not it. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's
so
not.
Anyway, so they wrote that book, and this is what they had to say, which I think is really good. The central question of stewardship is whether we're here on our own business or God's business. Is he Lord of my life or am I? Is it thy will be done or my will be done? Will we live for ourselves or for the Lord, right? In each of these areas, you know, we're to die to ourselves and we are to live for Christ, remaining engaged in ministry to the very end of our earthly pilgrimage, right? And I think that's a concept that is really all over Scripture. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up, right? And then there's Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, which Jesse just preached on last week. This was in our notes before Jesse. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we're to remain involved in ministry for our entire lives, right? And when I say involved in ministry, I don't mean necessarily church programs, okay? I'm talking about, you know, life on life, being involved, being serving God, remembering who we are and what our purpose is, which is to bring glory to him and to produce Christ-likeness in the people that we come in contact with, right? So when we talk about rejecting the world's concept of retirement, you know, that's what we're talking about. Right? It's not that people should never walk away from their careers or their jobs. It's not that we should remain, you know, frenetically active and running as fast as we can until we fall over dead. What it means is, you know, a thoughtful evaluation of what, you know, where I find myself in this moment in my life and the things that God has given me. How can I use that in light of my identity and my purpose? How can I bring glory to God, and how can I produce Christ-likeness in the people who are around me? You know, the trajectory of our lives then should be seen as a continual winding up, you know, culminating into our graduation into the next life, right? Straining forward to what lies ahead, as Paul says, not a winding down and a backing away and sitting down and taking time off, right? We're winding up as our life comes to an end for what's coming next, not winding down. And how we do that is going to look different for all of us, you know? But I think it comes down really to two questions that we need to ask ourselves. And I think this is, you know, true of wherever we are. And it will change, even in our retirement years. Things change. Not like we've retired, here's the plan, and this is going to be the plan for the next however long I'm going to live. You know, things will change over the course of that. But here are the two questions. Number one, what opportunities does God want me to seize in this moment? Right? What opportunities does God want me to see and to seize in this moment in which I find myself? And the second question is, who does God want me to invest in? Of these people that, you know, that God's bringing into my life at this moment, who are the ones that I should be investing in? And the point of all of this, I think, is to be able to say, like Paul did, when we look at this, you know, when we look at this time in our lives, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. You know, live our lives in a way that we look at them and we say, this is advancing the gospel. That's what I'm trying to do with it. Okay? We're right on time, but we're supposed to be finishing up like right about now. But any thoughts or comments? Yes, Cindy, please.
You know, I stumbled across a verse a few years ago that's kind of my life verse for the end of the road.
Yeah.
And it's in Psalm 71. You've probably all read it before. It's, "Oh God, from my youth, you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come." That's my goal, proclaiming his might.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yeah. And just at the risk of you all thinking that these are the books that have the paradigm of how to retire properly, they do not. But they have some good information. So there was the Ken Boa and Jenny Abel, Recalibrating Your Life. And I'm sorry, I picked up a different book instead of that one. This one is Reimagine Retirement by C.J. Cagle. This was very helpful. And then this is a really quick one by John Piper, Rethinking Retirement. And we did let the bookstore, and I think they already had these books in the bookstore, but we did let them know that we'd be recommending them if you want to read something other than the Bible, which is, of course, the one you should be reading, but add these along with that. There's some good advice in there.
Any other thoughts or wisdom? Yes, sir. Mario.
If only we had a counselor that could help us through this process.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. Spirit is our counsel.
What's that?
The Spirit is our counsel.
Spirit is our counsel, right?
His name is where he gives you the principle.
Amen. Amen. And you know, prayerfully, he'll reveal to us how he wants us to use these things.
He won't miss.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
So the principles, right, are the gospel is primary, right? What the Bible has to say about work and rest, keep those things in mind. And then it's the principles of stewardship. Those apply in this time of our life. And really, all the other transitions that we're talking about, you know, so whatever God puts in our way, I think those principles are really good ones for helping us to navigate that and figure out, you know, how we can bring glory to God and serve each other, right? The two things that last forever, God's work and people. So let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who makes up for all these mistakes in our lives, Lord. We don't really know what we're doing, Lord, but you do, and you lead us. And so we just come before you and ask you to do that, Lord. Would you reveal to us how you would have us to use these gifts that you've given us, Lord, this time, these treasures, the talents, Lord, our relationships, and the truth that you provide, Lord. Help us to, wherever we find ourselves in our lives, use those in a way that are true to the great commandment, Lord, that bring glory to you and that serve our neighbor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.